I'm David Faraci. I was a graduate student from 2005 to 2012, and Ray was supposed to be on my committee, but had to recuse himself. I don't know if recuse is the right word. That makes it sound like there was a conflict of interest or something. He couldn't do it anymore. I've got a couple of things I'd like to share. One thing that I wrote for today, and then a couple of short stories. So the first thing I'd like to share is I was trying to think about how to memorialize Ray, and I realized that if he were here, I'm sure he would insist that only he was equipped to memorialize himself. And so I wrote a sort of imagined letter from him to me asking me to speak on his behalf today because as many of you who were in the program with me know, I was fond of doing a not accurate at all but weird Ray impression. And so I'm going to read this letter that I've written in his voice before I share anything else. Dear David, it has been brought to my attention that you are fond of doing an impression of me. I'm given to understand that it is both inaccurate and boorish, but it will have to do. After all, even the warped shadow of a god is a better memorializer than a mere mortal could be. I also choose you for this task because you are quite loud, and it would likely be difficult for any other reader to be heard over the wailing and beating of breasts. Finally, I would recommend that at the close of your reading, you arrange to have a flock of doves carry a fountain pen, or perhaps some electronic device of yours heavenward. After all, I'm sure you wanted me to have that. One more prefatory remark. Should any of you find this sort of self-memorializing bizarre or distasteful, I invite you to compare the relative merits of my words herein with those shared by others here. For ease of re-identification, let us call my memorial the correct memorial. And we will refer to these others collectively as the namby-pamby memorials. Those prefaces aside, I would like to begin by giving you all an opportunity to thank me for giving you this opportunity to celebrate my life. You are welcome to this experience and to my words. I offer them to you free of charge. I suspect some time will have passed since my death, as the preparations for honoring me are likely to be long and arduous, and also because you will wish to put off for as long as possible the daunting task of figuring out how to go on with your lives. I will not sugarcoat this. The A-team is gone. Please remember, though, that I have lived my entire life surrounded by the B and C teams. I assure you it is not nearly as horrendous as you imagine. You should also remember that you now get to go through the rest of your lives living, having known me. This is no small feat. No matter what happens in the remainder of your now significantly less significant lives, you will have known me. Take solace in that. Be good. And know that I am, even now, defending you to the angels, explaining to them that you are not, in fact, the most obvious candidates for damnation. Ray. So just a couple of quick stories I also want to share. One is that I, as we've already heard, and I suspect we will hear many stories about Ray the character. And one thing that I always found challenging, and it's interesting to see how many of you have known him for so much longer, was wondering how much of Ray the character was really Ray the man. And I had a unique experience, though, because many of you may have known that Ray went through a short period when he was taking Ambien. Occasionally he would have this unfortunate side effect where he would wake up in the middle of the night and go driving and things like this. And I met him at 3 o'clock in the morning at Waffle House once. He pulled into the parking lot, parked where there was no parking space, came in, ordered a ham omelet, and I went over and started talking to him. And what was most striking about this experience, I ended up driving him home, by the way, so that he was okay. What was most striking about this experience was that he never broke character. I remember him telling me that he had been pulled over earlier that evening, but that they had had to let him go once they realized that he spoke the king's English. Even though he was sort of pale and disheveled and out of it, he never for a moment broke out of that character. So that's one of my favorites. And the last story I'd like to share is partly on behalf of myself and Christian Kuhns, This is a sort of selfish story because this is actually the story of a practical joke that Christian and I planned to play on Ray and which never came to fruition. And so the joke was that some of you may know that Ray had this picture of the Blue Angels, the Navy flying group in his office. And he had this big picture and it said like to Ray Fry and it was signed from the Blue Angels. And we would ask him where this came from and he would insist that he had no idea. People just send me these things. And so Christian and I plotted to have a letter sent to Ray from the Blue Angels. And so I'd like to, since we never got to have him really read the letter, I'd like to share it with you guys today, brief as my closing thing. This is from Luke, LCDR Paul Brantois, Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron in Pensacola, Florida. Dear Dr. R.G. Fry, hello again from the Blue Angels. As we begin preparations for our 2009 season, we wanted to contact you once again to thank you for your continuing support. Unfortunately, as in previous years, we were unable to approve your request for a VIP orientation flight. As you know, a small number of VIP orientation flights are offered each year to individuals from television, sports, music, and the movie industry. These individuals are selected by the Blue Angels to generate national media coverage and convey a positive image of the squadron and the Navy Marine Corps. Certainly, there is no question as to your status as an icon within your field or to the amount of media coverage that would be generated by your participation in our VIP flight program. Unfortunately, however, the dates you have requested are in conflict with our schedule. On June 13th, we are scheduled in Denver, Colorado. As you may be aware, our FA-18s can travel approximately 1,000 miles on a full load of fuel without external tanks. While adding external tanks would extend our range to 1,200 miles, enough to reach you on that date, this year's budget cuts preclude our bringing these tanks on tour. On July 18th, the Air Force Thunderbirds will be flying at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. As you know, current Department of Defense policy states the use of military aviation demonstration teams is for recruiting purposes. Therefore, the Blue Angels and AF Thunderbirds cannot fly within 150 miles of each other without special permission. I should note, by the way, that these were all true facts that we looked up to try and fool Ray with this as much as possible. Normally, we would be more than willing to make this request on your behalf. However, requests are limited, and one has made this year already for a member of your field. Dr. Francis Cam will be flying with us in New York on July 5th. If you are able to be in the area and would like to see her fly, we would be more than happy to provide you with complimentary tickets. We deeply regret once again our inability to accommodate you and hope sincerely that you will continue in your support and enthusiasm for the Blue Angels. P.S. We checked and you were correct. The C-130 Fat Albert holds only 46,000 pounds of fuel. We appreciate your diligence in bringing the error to our attention and have made the appropriate changes to our website and 2009 press release. Ray, you'll be sorely missed. I wish that I could have seen the look on your face. Or actually, I don't, because probably he would have just kept a straight face while reading this the entire time and then told us to leave. But he will be sorely missed, and I'm glad I had a chance to share that with someone.